Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The David Brudnoy Show.
We are now looking at flames shooting out of the north side of number one World Trade Center, but there are at least some windows blown out and smoke billowing out of the opposite side. We have not been able to get to the south side of the building yet. We're sort of staying right
here. We have been in touch with the leaders of Congress and with world leaders to assure them that we will do whatever is necessary.
It sounded like a fabulous explosion. And indeed, there is a great devastation up there.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended. The United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
WBZ News Radio, 1030.
Rhetoric fails one. The events speak for themselves, and we'll talk about those events tonight. I'm David Brudnoy. We're going to be interspersing news accounts as they develop with you and also with the few people who know whereof they speak. I hope that during the course of the evening you will join me in adding your thoughts to what for every American is the most astounding act of our lifetimes in terms of the most horrific loss of life on our shore since the Civil War back in the 1860s, the most unprecedented attack on both our system of business and our system of military preparedness, the two prime icons of American business, the World Trade Center, the tallest structures in the Western Hemisphere until 9:45 this morning when they evanesced, and of course the Pentagon. We have a government that is currently en route to the White House, back to where the president belongs, a White House otherwise denuded of personnel, save for the vice president and a few support staff, a Pentagon which was itself attacked with a loss of life as yet untold, and with loss of life in New York City that perhaps has gone into the quintuple digits, and we don't know exactly how many, and we will probably never know fully. We're going to look at these matters tonight, and we're going to talk very briefly with a variety of people who, as I said, can give us perspective from their own understanding. Colonel David Hackworth, who, as you know, is not only the most decorated Vietnam veteran, but also a military strategist and analyst for many, many years, joins us briefly tonight to tell us about what kind of military reaction the United States can do, knowing at the moment only that some concerted efforts have succeeded in this horrific act of barbarism against the American people. We do not yet have a target by name and by face. We have a concept of international terrorism designed to destroy the bastion of freedom in the world, the most free, successful, and happy nation on earth. They despise us for our success, for our freedom, for our openness and our tolerance and our understanding. They want to inflict upon the world the terror and the rigidity that they have exercised over various places. We assume there's a connection here between Osama bin Laden or the Taliban or perhaps Iran or perhaps Iraq. We don't know, but we know that ultimately their goals are the same, and that is to terrify the world into conformity and to enslave people under the guise that they and they alone know what God wants. They are very dangerous, as all fanatics are. And as we can see, they have struck in the belly of our nation. They have threatened to do so, and they have done so. Nothing like this has ever happened. And even the ghastly attack on the Murrah Federal Office Building, government building in Oklahoma City, with a loss of fewer than 100 lives and considerable damage, pales into insignificance in terms of the death toll from what happened today. Nothing again like this has ever happened, and may it never happen again. But what do we do? Colonel Hackworth joins us tonight. Hack, great to have you with us. I'm sorry that on a night like this we're talking about something as saddening and horrible as this. Dave, what do we do? What can we do?
First of all, we have to analyze what happened to us. And we were the victims of a massive, coordinated attack that was, unfortunately for us, on the receiving end, brilliantly executed. This is not another Pearl Harbor. It is far worse than Pearl Harbor. Our casualties will be far more, much higher than Pearl Harbor. And I hope that this will be a wake-up call for America, that this terrorism is a new form of war. It's a form of war that's been around a long time, but it's come back and with great gusto because it's a little guy taking on the big guy with all of his missiles and all of his defense shields, and we can't stop him. And it's an enemy that's fighting from the shadows. And the way to fight this guy is through great intelligence ability to find out what he's doing before he strikes us, and having a very strong defense force centered around the FBI. And what I've been talking about, David, for at least 10 years on the public forum and speeches and writing and so on, is just this, that terrorism's the new face of war, and I can't get it through to the people in the Pentagon and in the White House and the rest of our national security apparatus who have their head firmly in a very dark place and don't understand that B-2 bombers and defense shields and fleets of Abrams tanks are not the key to fighting this new face of war.
What is the key to fighting a war that comes on little cat's feet while we're not watching, that can plant a bomb on the body of a person as they do in Israel when they want to destroy children and terrorize a population, that can seize a plane owing to the laughably insecure security at airports, which are so abysmally ridiculous as to have allowed what obviously was something of an inside job? What do we then do, given that we can't go bomb the world? We have to find a way to cut off the terrorists at their knees and somehow to dissuade them from believing they can continue to do this, or presumably they could do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next.
And they can. And I must say that I've lived with terrorism all of my military life, which goes back to 1945, and I saw it throughout the Vietnam War and then around the world since. And the key to it is having a really first-class intelligence activity that is in the enemy's camp, that's got human intelligence, not as America's dependent upon all their high-tech eyes in the spy, but has people breaking bread with the enemy chieftain as he's planning his operation, and then having a strong defense force on the ground in the form of the FBI, backed up by all of the other activities, the intelligence activities, the fire departments, the police departments, the military, all working together in one team, pulling the rope in the same place. And I'm afraid that's what we've not had in the USA, and that's what we're going to have to get and realize that this is the future, and we must be able to preempt it. To win against terrorism, you don't react. You have to act before the terrorist acts.
We have reports that there are explosions in Kabul, Afghanistan. No one knows if those explosions are some form of internal rebellion, unlikely, or bonfires going up to celebrate the wonderfulness of the killing of great numbers of Americans. Or could it possibly be that we have already reacted by some retaliation against what we presume is, at least if not the font of, then the nest securing the font of these terrorist activities? I mean, you're speculating here, but your speculation is far more valid than mine. Could these reports of explosions in Kabul have indicated an almost instantaneous American reaction?
I think that would be premature. I think probably if these reports are in fact accurate, it may be people celebrating what happened to America today, as they have been in Palestine. We did this, a knee-jerk thing when our embassies were struck a couple years ago in Africa. We launched cruise missiles at what turned out to be a vitamin factory in Sudan, and also hit Osama bin Laden's training camp and base camp in Afghanistan. And we finally concluded that didn't do the job. What we have to do is, first of all, take care of our wounded and do triage. Get our wounded and dead out of there, and find buried, and then do detection work, and after the detection work, ending up with some fingerprints, David, and then launch a counterattack, be it with a powerful force. My thought is that what we're going to see is the international community come together, the Chinese, the Red Chinese, the Russians, the Americans, everyone that's been kind of yelling at each other lately, come together and say, this terrorism cannot stand. And if a country like Afghanistan wants to be the host of to a terrorist like Osama bin Laden, if they, through diplomatic means, do not want to turn him over, then they have to be considered an enemy and a declaration of war go down, and then take them out.
Colonel David Hackworth, thank you for joining us. I know we'll talk again over the years, Hack, and it's been great to have you here.
Well, I'm sorry it's on such a dark day.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. All Attorney General Ashcroft is speaking. We're carrying him now live.
Responsible for these acts, these crimes, to justice. Now is the time for us to come together as a nation to offer our support, our prayers for victims and for their families, for the rescue workers, for law enforcement officials, for every one of us that has been changed forever by this horrible tragedy. The following is a summary of the known facts surrounding today's incidents. American Airlines Flight 11 departed Boston for Los Angeles, hijacked by suspects armed with knives. This plane crashed into the World Trade Center. United Airlines Flight 175 departed Boston for Los Angeles, was hijacked and crashed into the World Trade Center. American Airlines Flight 77 departed Washington Dulles for Los Angeles, was hijacked and crashed into the Pentagon. United Airlines Flight 93 departed Newark for San Francisco, was hijacked and crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Crime scenes have been established by the federal authorities in New York, in Washington, D.C. area, in Pittsburgh, in Boston, and in Newark. The full resources of the Department of Justice, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, the U.S. Attorney's Offices, the U.S. Marshals Service, the Bureau of Prisons, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Office of Justice Programs are being deployed to investigate these crimes and to assist survivors and victim families. Thousands of FBI agents in all of the field offices across the country and in the international LEGAT offices, assisted by personnel from other Department of Justice agencies, are cooperating in this investigation. The FBI has established a website where people can report any information about these crimes. That address is www.ifccfbi.gov. That address again, www.ifccfbi.gov. Individuals can report any information they know about these crimes to that website. It takes courage for individuals to come forward in situations like this, and I urge anyone with information that may be useful and helpful to authorities to use this opportunity. The Office of Victims of Crime has established a toll-free 800 number for family and friends of victims. They can call 800-331-0075 to leave contact information for a future time when more information is available, to find out information about a victim, or to find out information about the rights of victims and the services available to victim survivors and victim families. The determination of these terrorists will not deter the determination of the American people. We are survivors, and freedom is a survivor. A free American people will not be intimidated, nor will we be defeated. We will find the people responsible for these cowardly acts, and justice will be done. Tommy.
Every single American lost something today.
This is Tommy Thompson, Secretary of Health and Human Services.
At this time, expresses our deepest sympathy to the victims of today's tragedies and their families. It is now our mission to begin the healing from this tragedy. From the moment that we learned of these attacks, the Department of Health and Human Services has begun readying teams and resources to be sent to New York City and the Washington area to meet any needs of state and local officials. So far, we have sent 4 disaster medical teams to New York City and 3 of these disaster medical teams to the Washington, Northern Virginia, Baltimore area. These medical teams each consists of about 35 physicians, nurses, and emergency medical technicians. They are all trained to deal with traumatic injuries and other emergency needs. We've also sent disaster mortuary operational response teams to New York and 3 to the greater Washington area. We're also in the process of shipping a great deal of emergency medical supplies to New York City with the help of the Centers for Disease Control. In short, we're making the full force of the Department of Health and Human Services, both its resources and medical expertise, available to the areas that need our assistance. We've also this afternoon activated the United States Public Health Service Commission Corps, which consists of approximately 6,000 health professionals. We also are giving backup assistance to the 500-bed ship Comfort from the United States Navy. Americans all over are calling up and asking what they can do. The best thing they can do is respond to this great call by volunteering to give blood. We need Americans to continue to answer that call. No matter where you live, please do your civic duty and assist us by donating blood. It is our primary job is to make sure Americans harmed by this tragedy get the help that they need. We will remain in constant contact with the governors, the mayors, public health officials, and other local officials to make sure that all their needs are being met. It is a sad day, but America and all of its citizens certainly share tonight in the grief that it's been caused. And as the president and everybody in his administration have said, we, the government, will continue to operate and continue to provide the services to all Americans.
Secretary Thompson, we're going to go to your calls on David Brunner, our number 617-254-1030. We're going to go commercial-free tonight, so we will have many more opportunities to talk with you. Please, if you want to get it off your chest, do it now and do it here. Don't sit around and look at the mirror. Talk with us. Stan, good evening. You're on WBZ. Hello.
Yeah, hi, David.
Good evening, Stan.
How are you tonight? I'm just on my way home south on Route 3. The major thing that concerns me from speaking with people today, obviously the act was terrible and it has to be dealt with, but I'm very concerned with people's reaction. I'm in the financial services industry, and I was actually in a meeting with a gentleman who's 83 years old, who remembers Pearl Harbor and is from that generation who remembers the different catastrophes. And the thing that concerns me is the office that I work for wanted everybody to go home and decided that they wanted to close. We were in a suburb because they were all very upset. And to me, I refused to go home. I refused to change exactly what I was doing because I believe that that's the whole concept of what's behind this, to try to disrupt everything. And I'm just very concerned when I speak with people now who are concerned about going back to work again tomorrow, and just the basic psychology behind it, because this is the big part that's played on. And I had to get that off my chest, because it's not only the act, but it's the fear of the act that I feel causes a great amount of problems as well.
I think you're right. The people have to get back into it. The airlines have to open tomorrow, the banks, the stock market, the baseball games and so on. In other words, we have to return. But the day of, as this thing occurs, people were in shock, jolted, furious, frightened. In a sense, sometimes the best thing to do is to decelerate for a few hours. Get out of work if you can. Government closed at every level throughout the land. Flags are at half-mast. In other words, what we're dealing with is a kind of... almost a shocking awareness of how vulnerable we are. And I think a few hours away from the humdrum of the ordinary is not a bad thing. But I think I'm entirely with you that tomorrow everybody goes back to work and we get on with it. We want to show whoever has done this that we're not going to be taken off of our course of ordinary business and involvement and all of our institutions. Actually, the stores stay open because, God forbid, somebody shouldn't be able to buy a shirt. That stays open all day long, but everything else closed today. The movie theaters closed, and I know virtually everything except bars and stores closed. And that indicates, again, our priorities, which is get a drink and buy something. And tomorrow, it seems to me, we've got to get back in the mainstream. Stan, thank you very much. We'll move on. We're going to take short calls tonight. We want to get reactions like Stan's from you. And I'll have a few things to say as we go along in the course of the evening. I, like you, have been thinking about this all day long. From morning on, just before beginning class this morning, our administrative assistant pulled me into the chairman's office at BU and said, look at this. And we did. And class ended a little bit early, and we went into the conference room at BU, the student lounge, many of the students, and we watched for a while. And everybody's been doing nothing but thinking about it today. Perhaps we're thinking irrationally. Perhaps we're thinking too excitedly. But we are not passive. We are not mundane about this. We are not taking this as if it's an ordinary day. Nothing like this has ever happened on this scale. And it's worth getting something before the rest of us. Here's a good opportunity to do it. Dan, good evening. You're on WBZ. Thank you for calling.
Hi, David.
Hi, Dan.
I just want to let you know, I think our security is real lax. I came through the Canadian Customs today, U.S. Customs, at approximately noontime. And I was not questioned other than the fact of what I was up in Montreal bar, and that was it.
They didn't open your trunk and look to see if you were carrying in fertilizer mixed with igniting things, did they?
Nothing. No. And they didn't check the car in front of me, and I actually had no idea what had happened until 20 minutes before I got to the border.
We have the longest unsecured border in the world between Canada and the United States because we have such a peaceful and wonderful relationship, the two countries, and we don't want to turn it into a border in which we've got guards there and barbed wire and so on. We've closed the Mexican border, not because Mexicans are evil, but because it's an awareness that the porousness of our southern border and the fact that these millions of illegal aliens just slip right in and big business harbors them, and the president and his moronic approach to suck up to every Hispanic he can says basically we'll make you citizens or the functional equivalent thereof. We know that bad guys can get in through Mexico, put on a sombrero instead of a turban, and, you know, walk across the Rio Grande, and there you are. But we may have to close the Canada border, too, and that would be a terrible thing given the decades of good relations that the United States and Canada have had. Nobody's blaming Canadians. It's just, as you say, the porousness of the border, the ease with which you passed through, and you could have been carrying horrible things and been a terrorist. You know, if you don't look the part, they don't treat you like one who looks the part. And who walks around looking like a terrorist? You know, we don't do that. So there you are.
Well, what I found strange, David, is the two gentlemen in front of me, I believe they might have been holistic Jewish men.
Yeah, maybe.
And they made the driver get out of the car, but they did no search, and they no ID.
Well, they may have simply assumed that there was nothing there. In other words, the standard procedure, and I haven't crossed the Canada border in a long time, but I have in the past, many times in the past. It's an easy thing because the assumption is, and it has fairly been an assumption that we can rely on, nothing bad is going to happen in the overwhelming bulk of the cases. They look for druggies. They look for people who may have a car that looks so banged up and the driver may look so stoned that they assume something bad. But if you look like an ordinary businessman, you're coming through, or your family, they're not going to waste a lot of time checking with you. And the problem is that coming into this country is so easy. And as we know, our danger has come from people who are here. They may have come in yesterday or they may have been here for decades. That's the most frightening thought, is that some of this horribleness may be people who are in fact longtime residents, even citizens, perhaps native-born citizens. Remember, the last terrible act until this, the worst terrible act, was homegrown, good-looking, Boy Scout, war veteran, nice guy, turned into a mass killer, Timothy McVeigh. You know, we wanted to believe it was from without, and it turned out to be a sort of homegrown American, a blue-eyed, ordinary American, and there it was. And this is what is so frightening to people, is that we don't know whence it has come, and we may strike out unreasonably and start sort of, you know, demonizing people who look different, as we did in 1979, when people beat up Arabs, assuming that, well, if you're from the Middle East, you're an Iranian. Arabs and Iranians are not the same at all. But a lot of Arabs were beaten up badly, and owing to that. Thank you very much for the call, Dan. We're going to take a little update on news, and we will get right back to you after that on number 254-1030, area code 617.
You're listening to live continuing coverage. Attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. This is News Radio 1030, WBZ, Boston. Attack on America. Chaos unfolds in front of our eyes. Continuing coverage on WBZ, News Radio 1030.
We continue. I'm David Brunner. We'll hear from you very shortly. We're joined now by Lori Milroy. Dr. Milroy is an expert on Middle East terrorism. We talked with her long ago with a book about Saddam Hussein, and I've spoken with her over the years on many occasions, as with David Hackworth, who talked with us about military approaches. We're going to talk with Lori about how we analyze what has actually occurred here. Lori, thank you for joining us. Once again, we always talk during sad times. You have spoken for many years here about Iraq being the font of evil in these regards. Do you still think that that is what we can look to ultimately here, Iraq rather than someplace else?
Yes. One of the notable things about today's tragic events was that it completed the work that the bombers of the Trade Center in 1993 tried to do, which was to topple New York's tallest tower onto its twin. They didn't manage to do it then, and they've done it today.
How then do we attribute it to Iraq as opposed to Osama bin Laden, who is Saudi and is currently evidently cared for by the Afghani Taliban fanatics? What is the connection between Iraq there?
Well, I think the starting point is the question, who has a capability to carry out a major terrorist attack like this? Even the Trade Center bombing, we should have asked that question. And the answer is a state or a well-known terrorist organization like the IRA. Now, I don't think even the IRA could carry out today's attack. It is a state that is behind it. And that state may work with bin Laden when these bodies are identified, if they can be. It may turn out that, you know, in the planes are some of bin Laden's people. But that is what the U.S. government authorities are meant to find. This is an act of war. Who are we at war with? Who has been behind the previous terrorism? It's an attack on the Pentagon. It's not every Tom, Dick, and Harry militant Muslim was a suspect. It's states, and we're at war with one state, and that's Iraq.
In the Israeli circumstance, where the analogous types of bombings just to terrorize the population, suicide bombers, as these people who seized the planes were today, they have always gotten a claimant, Hamas or Al-Fatah, or somebody has said, we did it, nya, 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 die Jews. Today, nobody is claiming credit for this. Wouldn't it be a feather in Iraq's cap or Osama bin Laden's cap to say, we did it? I mean, you can see that we have let Saddam Hussein get away with literally murder for 10 years and prior to our involvement with him for years before that. I know that we would be attacking somebody, but he survived our attacks in 1991. He survived another decade of intermittent attacks going on, as we understand, almost daily. We just keep attacking and he just keeps thriving. Why doesn't somebody claim credit for this today as they do in Israel when they kill Israeli children and teenagers and old ladies on the street and just blow up people in supermarkets and so on? I'm not understanding why This act, which is so revelatory of our weakness and so indicative of their strength and ability to terrorize us, wouldn't be trumpeting this throughout the world. We did it. We did it. Yay, kill Americans, die, capitalist pig, or whatever they want to say. Why aren't they claiming it?
That's not how they operate. No one wants to claim this because if the United States decides it's one party or another, the punishment is going to be ferocious. The Pan Am 103, no one ever claimed. So major attacks often aren't claimed. In Israel, the people who claim the attacks know that they're hard to find. It's not the same sort of thing, plus which the Israelis will probably find who's behind it anyhow, even if there is no claim. But I think they're similar in one respect, in that the terrorism against Israelis has a fixed structure and hierarchy. I was listening to one nonsensical BBC interviewer speaking to Prime Minister Sharon's spokesman.
That's a redundancy when you say nonsensical BBC. As we know, the usual NPR approach to the world, which is fantasy land, Disneyland on the snot brigade. But anyway, back to the thing. What did the idiot say?
Well, he said, you know, how do you know that the suicide bomber wasn't just a lone bomber who rigged this all up himself? And the spokesman says, it doesn't happen that way. I mean, there's a whole apparatus behind it. These people get recruited and someone else builds the bomb, and the Israelis know very well the nature of that apparatus, and many times they have a good understanding of who is making the bombs and whatnot. And the guy who blows himself up is a low man on the terrorist cell totem pole. You go looking for a certain structure and hierarchy, and a tightly defined cell, because this stuff shouldn't get out ahead of time. Otherwise, you know, they'll go take care of the terrorists before the terrorists can act.
60 Minutes interviewed a sort of a ranger of terrorists, a guy who trains, finds young men who are of a certain sort, and says they're ready to go, and it doesn't take much to convince them that their duty is to blow themselves up. The Israelis seem to know how to find the fomenters of this. Why doesn't our own intelligence agency, especially our CIA, and our military Pentagon experts, why don't they know how to find Osama bin Laden? How?
It's not just Osama bin Laden.
Or anybody. Why can't they find anybody? So we bomb Libya, or we hit accidental places that are irrelevant to it. I mean, we don't seem to zero in. We don't get a body count the next day. My God, we've got the major agent of the Iraqi terrorist organization. The Israelis kill some major agent of terrorism, and the world's go, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. How dare you do a thing like that? But at least the Israelis say, look, we would like to survive. screw you, basically. So they fight back. The Americans say, whom shall we bomb? Whom shall we hit? Why don't we know better? What's wrong with our agency?
We didn't want to know. How long, David, have you and I been talking about Iraq and terrorism?
Well over a decade.
Since 93, so that 8 years.
Well, before that, really.
It really starts with the World Trade Center bombing. Yeah. You know, I really do lay out in my book, Study of Revenge, the evidence that shows that Saddam's behind that bombing. And that bombing is important. It's said to be the first kind of the loose network terrorism, not involving states. Well, that's where things go wrong, because you can't find loose networks. You don't know anymore what you're looking for. It's anything. It's very shadowy. It's not loose networks that are carrying out this terrorism. But Clinton chose to define the terrorism in that way. His response to terrorism was to arrest perpetrators and bring them to justice. And generally people were happy with that.
And we should continue to do that now. We should find specific ones, bring them to justice. Our justice takes a very long time.
Absolutely not.
And Americans forget. No, I mean, I can think about it. By the time we finally got to the trial of the people who had done the bombing, the first bombing in 93 of the World Trade Center, some years had passed. People had other things to worry about, especially Oklahoma City. In other words, we don't get to it speedily enough so the American people can see a nexus between the crime and the punishment.
There's a much bigger problem. None of these trials address the question of state sponsorship.
Yes.
That is the heart of the matter. For 8 years, we have been bringing individuals to justice, which is fine, but we ignored the question of state sponsorship so the terrorism continued, and today we've seen how bad it can get.
Dr. Lori Milroy is the author of, among other books, most recently, Study of Revenge. Lori, thank you for joining us. We'll be talking, I'm sure, in coming days or weeks about this or other matters. It's always good to have you with us. You help us focus. Thank you so much.
Great pleasure to talk with you, Dave.
Thank you very much, Dr. Milroy. All right, let's go to your calls now. And as I said, we're not doing commercials tonight. We'll run through with news and with you. Eric, good evening. You're on WBZ. Hi.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Fine. Thank you, Eric. Go ahead, please.
Well, it's a very particularly sad day. There's not an awful lot that a person, you know, being in the Boston area, that we can say or commiserate with. But there has to be a point that we also need to understand. Our government isn't stupid. They blunder. They'll make a couple of mistakes. Those who have committed this act will be caught, even if not among the living. Those who have helped them do this will be known. It's a crime of such a heinous, I'm not sure the proper pronunciation.
Heinous. It is a heinous crime, but you say we will know who they are. Lori says
we don't want
to know who they are because we don't want to face, from her perspective, the realities that state sponsor. David Hackworth said it is not, in other words, we have two different perspectives here on who's causing it. Are you sure we will find out who did this?
We need to know, and we need to act. Let's give our government a little bit of time to straighten this out. Let's exercise some patience. Let's not rush to judgment. Let's understand what's happened. And then let's take the corrective and the appropriate action as it is.
I think
having traveled across the country, having traveled overseas extensively, I know that there are groups, there are societies, there are peoples who don't share the same values that we do. Does that make them right? Does it make them wrong? It's not my argument.
Is it not your argument? In other words, are you saying that to hold values inimical to ours, mainly that one should not be free to practice one's religion, one should not be free. In other words, what I'm asking, the question is, you said it isn't yours to judge. Well, is it not yours to judge?
I do know this, David. That to wage war, to fight the good fight or the wrong fight or the bad fight, depends on degrees of what we all consider to be right and wrong.
Fair enough. I think we all agree. We have to determine what right and wrong is. Eric, thank you very much. Look, there are many ingredients in this, and I'm just going to spin out some thoughts as I go through. I'll get to your call in a minute. Next caller. One of the most appalling instances and ongoing instances of not getting the point is what I call the moral relativist idiots. People like James Carroll, who writes in the Boston Globe, people who cannot differentiate between those whom others would destroy and those who would like not to be destroyed. And this notion, as he writes endlessly about the Middle East, the Palestinians and the Israelis are just the same, even though one, of course, would like to annihilate the other entirely and believes they have no right to exist, and the other would simply like to continue to exist and has no intention of obliterating Egypt or Jordan or the Palestinians, for that matter. The moral relativist idiots who do not, as the last caller, does not feel that they can say there is a difference, and it's a demonstrable difference of degree and quality between our values, which are tolerant and accepting and open, and those values of people who are closed and intolerant and basically reprehensible. Those are the Taliban values. Kill the Buddha statues. God forbid there should be an ancient statue that somebody might look at. Make the Hindus wear identifying stars so we can demonize them. Strip women and beat them to death if, God forbid, they should have let an ankle show. Kill Christians who come in and perhaps show a Bible to somebody. I mean, these values, if one cannot say these are worse than our values of openness and tolerance,
that has made it possible for Muslims and Jews and Christians and Hindus and Buddhists and all sorts to thrive in this country, and for our political opponents not to go to jail, rot, and be killed if they lose, as opposed to the alleged democracies of the Middle East, where you can run for office, but you can't win. And if you get close, they kill you. And if you criticize the government, they kill you. And there was the last caller, maybe a fine lad for all I know, but the inability to say unequivocally our values are better than those, like the moral relativists, the James Carroll Brigade, the kinds of people who so loathing their own selves, an inability, having an inability to stand up for the values that say this is better than that, have basically made it impossible for the American people to understand that what the Israelis go through, which is a daily threat to their lives from people willing to kill themselves, now we know what it's like. And when Americans say, well, you know, it's a terrible thing. Those Israelis have targeted some alleged terrorist and taken him out. Oh, my goodness gracious. Do you not think that if we could pinpoint tomorrow where the nest of vipers is, that any American proud to call himself such would object if we went in and took out that nest of vipers? Do you think any sane American would object to our doing to those who've done this to us today, what the Israelis try to do to protect themselves? I don't think so. But now perhaps the people, the moral relativist idiot brigade, will shut up or at least be demonized as they ought to. And people will say, you are wrong. Don't make false analogies and say, this is as good as that. No, our way is better than their way. Civilization is better than barbarism. Tolerance and openness is better than closedness. We've got to be able to feel that. If we don't feel pride in our system and believe it is better, then why not just succumb to it? Bring an old Ayatollah here. Bring a leader like the Taliban declaring that there's only one right religion and everybody else must subscribe to it. Have fatwas. Kill people who dare to criticize. I am amazed by the inability of Americans to see that what has gone on for a long time over there is now akin to what's going on here, and that this thing cannot simply be equated to a matter of degree. Well, they're just like us, except they look a little different. They're very different indeed. We'll go to your calls after the news. We're joined now by the mayor of Boston, who spoke eloquently recently about how we are not going to close down our city. I heard him on television. Mayor Menino, thank you for joining us. Good to have you here. It would be nice to have you here on a happier occasion. Mayor, what are you saying to the people of Boston about what we must do tomorrow to get back into safety? We're not going to close the city for the rest of the month, are we?
We're not going to close the city down. Business as usual in the city. This tragedy has changed the face of America forever. America will never be the same again. And security will be much different. I just say, people, you know, I think, David, that tomorrow is going to be, it'll be the worst day, worse than today. Because names of individuals we know are going to start surfacing, and we'll know many of these young men and women on this plane. I just go ahead, say a few prayers, and if you know somebody, offer a helping hand. But I just ask everyone, the children, that's what I'm really concerned about. In the schools, we have psychologists working with the kids, but you know, youngsters are watching TV, and they can't fathom this out, and we just ask the parents to, you know, give some tender loving care to kids the next few days. Just, they're going to be very confused about what happened. And, you know, we'll do the, as a city, we'll do our part to make it as safe and as comfortable as possible. But I just ask you to reach out to those youngsters out there, no matter who they are, if they're your own kids or somebody else's kids. And, you know, the police are doing their work, informing the public. We're doing everything we can. But we need some, the human factor comes into play right now.
Do the city offices open again tomorrow? Do the schools open tomorrow? Do we go back to life as ordinary tomorrow? Do we stay closed for some days?
No, we're going to be open tomorrow. The schools will be open. City Hall will be open tomorrow.
How do you feel that you can say to the people of Boston, we are protecting our civic buildings? You have control over the civic buildings, Governor Swift over state buildings through the state police and so on and so forth. You can't control everything, but we have the city hall, we have the courthouses that are within your purview, you have a variety of schools. What kind of protection are you saying to the American people, the people of Boston rather, that you are providing for us in coming days?
David, we have the police department high alert right now, and there are public buildings like the Boston City Hall, the police headquarters, places that would be targets. You know, terrorists want to make a statement, And so the places the most likely they'd aim for would be one of our towers in the city. That's why this morning we made the statement to evacuate the top floors. City Hall would be one statement. Police headquarters would be another one. But we have police out there, a high alert, and we have every available officer out there. We have our recruits coming in who will be sworn in next week as police officers. So we're doing everything we can, David. There's some intangibles here that we can't predict, but I think just saying to everyone, I think it's going to be safe to come into Boston tomorrow.
The mayor is going to be appearing on our sister station, WBZ TV 4 and Channel 38, at 8 o'clock, so we'll let him go to walk across the hall to our television stations. Mayor Menino, thank you for joining
us. Thanks, David. Thank you.
Let's get to your calls again. Danny, good evening. You're on WBZ. Hi, Danny.
Hello.
Good evening, sir.
Hi. I just basically have a quick question. Is there anything, to your knowledge, that indicates that this state or people from this area in Boston will have the opportunity or be given a request or anything to volunteer their time and try to, I don't know what can really be done, but, you know, to do what can be done about cleaning up the mess? And
well, we have no mess here. In other words, the thing is that New York, obviously, is bringing in people from neighboring states, from Connecticut, New Jersey,
that's exactly
and upstate New York.
I know we don't have a mess.
Yeah, right at the moment, fire departments can't even get into the World Trade Center. The third building, as you know, a huge one, has collapsed. There are seven buildings in the World Trade Center complex. All of them are structurally damaged, in addition, of course, to the ones that are gone. And right at the moment, that, to look for survivors, to look for people who may be walking days, to try to get into hospitals, find people who may have been hit by an amnesiac attack simply because they don't know what's happened. I mean, all these horrible things are going on. What we have to consider here is something that really will be a matter. I'll have to talk with people such as Virginia Buckingham, and that is, what is wrong with our security at Logan that people can get knives on board our planes here? I don't know if the last time you went through security, but basically if you show your picture and it says, "Hi, I'm John Terrorist," they say, "Welcome, Mr. Terrorist," but they don't check baggage, they don't check person, they check a picture ID. I've said for a couple of years, this is not security, this is delusion. Underpaid, undertrained, uninterested, distracted, basically not very bright people are the security at Logan Airport. That's the worst security I've seen anywhere in the world, except I think in Zimbabwe on one occasion some years ago. And obviously to get two planes off today, there's our danger right now, is that some bodies were able to take two planes off and do this horrifying thing. And we kid ourselves about security. I don't think the average grade school in Boston is going to be a target tomorrow, though I'm pleased to know that the mayor has got the police on alert. But there's the danger, and I think you and I, Danny, and everybody else have got to say to our officials, get your act together at Logan, for heaven's sakes, and see if we can scrutinize better the employees who come through there. It's an inside job, obviously. That much we can be sure of. The people on that plane got in with the conspiracy of somebody who let them through. And that, I think, is what you and I are going to have to find out about soon enough, and there will be. Danny, thank you for the call. We'll continue after this. We'll be doing news at the top and the bottom of the hour. We'll talk with a few experts along the way. We'll talk with you. I'll be with you till 10. Paul Sullivan thereafter here on WBZ.